Anya looked up and gasped as Mr. Singh strode out into the open pavilion. He paused, looked up at the sky, and seemed vaguely annoyed that the sun was out. But he merely adjusted his sunglasses and kept walking ahead. Behind him came Took and Mike. Anya was so happy she almost forgot to stay still. Then behind Took and Mike came Singh's two thugs, Burton and Kurtz. The automatic rifles they held didn't look the least bit friendly. Singh directed Took and Mike to one side with Kurtz covering them.
Burton, stand there and cover everyone else, but particularly that woman there. If anyone moves, kill Su Zhao first.
I should have killed you when I had the chance.
Well, it's not as though you didn't try, my dear. After all, that nasty little neurotoxin you put in my glass was something else. A rather spectacular little drug, isn't it? Unfortunately, I simply wasn't feeling like a drink. So after you left, I happened to pour it into the large fern in the study. Imagine my surprise when the damn thing toppled and the fronds turned that horrible shade of brown. Of course, by then you had already departed Kathmandu for places unknown. Until now. We scoured the city for you, of course. I'm not exactly fond of people who want to see me shuffle off this mortal coil. I bet you really want to have a go at me right now, don't you, Su Zhao? Make up for all those times I forced myself upon you? All those times you pleaded with me to stop because you didn't like it, and yet I continued because you were mine. All along it must have driven you nearly insane, not being able to slice my throat with those ridiculous claws of yours. But you hadn't yet found out what you needed to know, had you? You see, Miss Creed, Su Zhao was a plant. She needed to know if I had any inkling of the location of this place. It was imperative that I didn't, I imagine. Because if I'd caught wind of it, then I could have taken steps to ensure that Vanya here couldn't go ahead with her plans.
Who exactly are you, Mr. Singh?
Me? Why, I'm just your average Chinese businessman. That's all. Nothing special about me.
Singh is the resident Chinese intelligence officer in charge of Kathmandu. It is his responsibility to report on anything that might jeopardize the control China has over Tibet from this side of the border.
Now, really, was it necessary for you to review that? I believe she might have readily accepted my other explanation, but no, you had to go and ruin it. Shame.
Anya is too intelligent to fall for that. It doesn't add up.
Vanya is upset because I report to the very people she would no doubt like to see removed from power, one way or another. And it was my job to make sure our operations in the area were safe and secure. Imagine my surprise then, when the transponder we placed in the plane we loaned you and Mike started beeping from this very mountain. It was rather amusing, actually. And at first, I couldn't believe it. You see, I'd seen the map and never imagined that you would find yourselves here, rather than the exact position the map shows. But then the universe is a strange thing, isn't it? And whether through luck or serendipity or what have you, you and Mike, and even that little insignificant speck of dust called Took, found yourselves here.
So you knew about this place all along, Singh?
My dear, I helped build this place. It is here because I sought out a special location for us to conceal our activities. My government has been trying for years to come up with a means to dispose of certain elements of our waste. We've tried all manner of things, and nothing worked.
So you came here?
We came here because one of our scientists had an idea. He said that if we could harness the heat from the waste and channel it just so, we could turn a frozen landscape into a tropical one. The idea was a bit far-fetched, but it grew to gain support and the initiative was launched several years back. It was incredibly expensive, but we thought that if we could achieve what the scientist claimed, we might actually turn this place into a tourist spot.
You wanted to bring tourists here atop a pile of nuclear waste?
Oh, I know it seems crazy, but really, look around. You must admit that we did an amazing job building it. Look at the incredible statues. It's all very convincing. Even the fruit trees are real. The resort itself was obviously designed to help us offset our costs, and we knew the lure of Shangri-La is so great that we would draw hundreds of thousands every year. And more importantly, if the technology worked, Then we would put it to use in certain other areas of our country where the land is less than optimal for growing food.
This is insane. You're talking about burying nuclear waste in the ground. The consequences of that would kill thousands.
We are talking about burying it, but not in the manner you think. We don't just lob it into the soil and be done with it. We plant a containment device that not only keeps the waste from leaching into the soil, but generates and channels incredible energy. Not only does it enable the soil to grow warmer and more fertile, but we also thought we could siphon off some of the heat and help keep houses warm. Imagine being free of oil as a heating implement. The savings alone in that field would amount to hundreds of billions of dollars.
But at what cost?
Well, there's the rub, as you say. We needed workers to handle it, and we would have to swear them to secrecy. The only way to guarantee that they didn't talk was to move their families in with them. They would work at the resort and reap the benefits. Speaking of which, where are all the workers?
They're dead.
Dead? How? There were 600 of them stationed here. How did they die?
Vanya had them killed.
You did what? You killed them? My God, woman! There were children with our parents here!
Not any longer. Every last one of them is dead.
This is not the news I was hoping to hear.
I find it difficult believing you, considering you threw a man off the roof the night you met with us.
The man I threw off the roof worked for Vanya. He was attempting to penetrate my organization. When we got wind of it, we took care of matters. He was an interloper. Had I known I had not one but two such traitors in my midst, I surely would have delighted in taking care of the other one as well.
You're making me sick, Tsing.
Yes, well, funny how times change, isn't it, Su Shao? I can vividly recall you begging me to do some very interesting things to you. Such a dirty little girl you are. I'm assuming you trained her to do that as well, Vanya.
Su Shao is a true servant of the people.
Yes, whatever. Save me the propaganda speeches, would you? It seems to me that we have a few things to clear up here.
This ought to be good.
Where are the bodies of the workers, Mike? They will need a proper burial, and my superiors will need to be informed.
Well, then, you've got a serious problem.
Why is that?
Because Einstein over there had the bodies thrown into the treatment facility beneath us.
Please, tell me that you are lying.
I wish I was, but it's the truth. Ask Took and he'll confirm it.
Is this true, Took?
I saw the bodies under security cameras inside the mountain.
You did this, Vanya?
I did.
You know what this would do?
Of course.
Yeah, see, that's the other problem. By my watch, if I was reading those levels right back in the computer room, we've got maybe 10 minutes before this place starts to melt right into the earth or blow up. Either way, it's not going to be a good thing.
I assume there's no way to stop it?
Perhaps if you were to go down into the treatment facility and pull every last body from it, it might help ease the tension.
You know as well as I do that we cannot enter that facility without the proper equipment!
Then it might be a good time to tie up your loose ends and get the hell out of Dodge. I certainly don't want to hang around here any longer than absolutely necessary.
Sing walked over to Burton.
Yes, sir, Mr. Sing.
The 7.62mm rounds ripped Vanya's chest open. Blood pumped out onto the stone floor, and Sing regarded her as if she had been a mere nuisance to him.
She should have endured far greater pain and misery before I released her to death. Su Shao, you will suffer for her crimes back in Beijing, I assure you.
There is nothing they can do to me that would be worse than the horror of having your seed inside of me.
No. You see, that's where you're wrong. There is a great deal they can do to you that will make you wonder how much better it would be to reside in hell. The men in Beijing are masters of what they do. And they exist for the suffering of people like you who would see our state undermined for the petty purposes of personal grandeur.
Well, if everyone is done chit-chatting, might this be a good time to leave?
I'm afraid not. The last thing I can afford is to have you or anyone else left alive who can tell the world what has happened here.
The world's going to find out anyway when this place blows up.
They might think they know, but there will be no proof to find. All of the contractors involved in the construction of this facility have already been killed and their remains scattered. There are no notes of the construction that took place. In short, there's really nothing around that will ever tie the Chinese government to the horrible human tragedy about to befall this place.
Someone will find out.
I doubt that very much.
So you're going to kill us?
Well, what would you do in my place, Anya? Let you all live and go free? Come on now. You're not that naive. And neither is your friend Mike. Even Took there knows that he can't walk away from this one. Mr. Kurtz, shoot them.
Anya and Su Zhao moved at the exact same time. Su Zhao's spikes bit into Burton's neck, jutting out of his larynx at odd angles. Anya's blade sliced Kurt's arm and his trigger hand fell slack, blood spouting and spraying the surrounding area. Kurtz tried to swing back to punch at Anya, but she sank down and then stabbed right up into Kurtz's exposed midsection. Kurtz grabbed at Anya's blade and then fell back and off it as Anya got to her feet. The look on Singh's face indicated that he could scarcely comprehend the situation. In seconds, he'd gone from a position of power to suddenly being drastically outnumbered. Anya, meanwhile, had a more immediate threat. Su Zhao had gotten off the ground and now stalked her.
It doesn't have to end this way.
I exist to deal out death.
You can change.
No, I can't. And what would I do without my mistress? I live to serve her whims and have carried out my orders faithfully, even when they entailed doing horrible things that no one should have to endure.
You've served her honorably, no doubt. But let it go now. Think of your family.
My family doesn't know I exist. Bunya raised me from the time I was taken out of the nursery. My mother had triplets and was told only two survived. I was raised in secret to be a tool for her ambitions.
Go home, then. Find your family. Tell them who you are.
I will never be permitted to live. I know too much, and my connection to Bunya means I will be branded an enemy of the state. My life is forfeit.
She's right. And once I get back, I will see to it that she and her entire family are put to death.
Took, can you please shut him up?
Gradually. He talked too much.
Su Zhao, what if Singh doesn't survive? There would be no one left to tell the government what happened here. You could make up any story you wish and they would never know.
It's not possible. I know what my future holds, and I know what I have to do.
But...
Su Zhao hacked at Anya, driving her back toward the grand staircase. Anya was surprised that despite Su Zhao's injury, she was still incredibly strong.
Damn it, it doesn't have to be like this!
It does! I will die and decreed, but first I will see to it that you die as well. My mistress would have wanted it that way.
Anya felt the stairs beneath her feet and fell away. The treads cut at her, and she knew she was bleeding everywhere. Anya unfolded with blood running from her arms, legs, back, and head. Su Zhao landed gracefully at the bottom, none the worse for wear.
You mean to end this?
I do.
Then let's do it.
Anya cut up, trying to take the offensive. But Su Zhao came in close and knee-locked Anya. Driving her own knee against Anya's, she swept Anya's leg out. Anya pivoted and backfisted Su Zhao in the stomach. Su Zhao staggered away. Anya got to her feet and brought the sword up in front of her, charging forward towards Su Zhao's exposed body. Su Zhao brought her claws together and stopped the blade. Anya was shocked. She'd never known anything that could stand up to a direct cut from her sword. Su Zhao had metal claws like some mutant movie character. Worse, her claws had edges everywhere instead of just on one side. Su Zhao flicked them at Anya, and she felt one of them score a line across her face. Blood streamed down her cheek. Anya rolled over backward, keeping a hold on the sword. She immediately lashed out with her own kick. Anya felt the kick slide off, but used the momentum to close some of the distance. She shot an elbow into Su Zhao's midsection. The assassin thrust her hand at Anya's trachea. Su Zhao raked her claws back and tried to catch Anya. But Anya had already started to duck, and the claws only sliced through where her hair had been seconds earlier. Sweat poured off both of them. All of Anya's injuries stung from the sweat and salt rubbing with the blood and exposed skin. Su Zhao seemed to be running on fumes, but her attacks never wavered. Su lunged at Anya, her claws already unfurling and aiming right at Anya's face. Anya ducked. Anya tried once again to stab into Su Zhao's midsection. But the assassin spun away. time was running out. Anya needed to end this battle. Su Zhao delivered a sharp hand strike to Anya's collarbone. Before Anya could roll back to her feet, Su Zhao rushed forward, kneeing Anya in the face. A fresh river of blood flowed down her face.
You're finished, Anya Creed. Give up now, and I will cure you painlessly.
I don't know how to give up.
She cut back at Su Zhao. The point of her sword caught the lithe assassin near the ribs. Su Zhao danced away, but Anya could see that she'd struck a solid cut. Blood was spreading on Su Zhao's shirt. Anya swung, trying to cleave Su Zhao in two with the blow. Su Zhao ducked the blow and then tripped Anya as she passed. In an instant, Su Zhao was atop Anya. Anya flipped over and faced Su Zhao. Anya punched up into Su Zhao's face. Anya swung her elbow, striking at Su Zhao's temple. She scored, sending Su Zhao rolling clear. Anya got to her feet, wobbling from the loss of blood. Su Zhao also seemed unsteady, but her claws still gleamed in places that weren't covered with Anya's blood.
It doesn't have to be this way.
You're begging for mercy now? I wouldn't have thought you were the type.
I'm not. I'm giving you the chance to give up and stay alive.
We are too far into this. It has to end here and now.
I don't want to have to kill you.
Then you're in trouble, because I desperately want to kill you.
So be it.
Su Zhao rushed at Anya. The distance was almost too tight, but Anya managed to wedge the blade up and in so the point was aimed right at Su Zhao's heart as she came charging back in one last time. Anya could feel the strength draining from the assassin's body, and Su Zhao collapsed against Anya's chest, the blade jutting out through her back. For a moment, Anya could have sworn she felt the pulsing tremor of two heartbeats, but then she realized it was only her own, echoing back from the body of her rival. Anya rolled out from under Su Zhao and stared at the lifeless body of an enemy who had very nearly killed her. The sword hung heavy in her right hand. When she opened her eyes again, Su Zhao's stared into hers, and for just a moment, a spasm of fear rolled through Anya's stomach. But she looked again and knew that Su Zhao's lifeless, cold orbs would never again hold life in them. Anya's body ached, and she struggled to get to her feet. She was weak from the loss of blood.
Anya!
Estuk threw her arm over his shoulder. Anya kept her eyes focused on the walk ahead. Each step seemed to exacerbate the intense pain she felt riddling her body. At the top of the stairs, she saw that Mike had a gun trained on the now conscious Singh. Singh looked at her and smiled.
I see you persevered over a very adept enemy.
She was incredibly skilled.
So what happens now? Do you all go home riding off into the proverbial sunset? And what about me?
What do you think, Mike?
Damned if I know, Anya. A big part of me wants to shoot this guy and be done with him. But I've never murdered a man in cold blood before. Even someone like this turd, who clearly deserves it.
Sure lucky to be alive, Anya. I've never seen a fight like that.
I've never had a fight like that. And for a while there, I thought I was actually gonna die.
He looked that way. I wasn't sure what we were going to do if Su Zhao beat you and came running back up those steps. Mike and I were simply going to shoot her down with as many bullets as possible. She didn't look like anything could stop her.
I wasn't sure anything could. But she made a mistake and I saw it. Sometimes that's all it is. There's nothing amazing or significant about the victory. It's just a small thing that reveals itself in the blink of the action. You either take the opportunity, or you lose it and die.
And you took it.
Fortunately. But I almost missed it. And if I had, that would be me down there at the foot of those stairs instead of her.
She was terrifying and incredible. I know it seems silly, but I almost respected her for her ability.
It's not silly. She should be respected. God knows I sure as hell do. I've faced a lot of foes, and I remember only a few of the highly skilled ones. Su Xiao goes to the top of the list as far as I'm concerned.
I hate to break up this precious bonding moment and all, but according to your friend Mike, we only have 2 minutes to make our escape.
Is that true?
I'm afraid it is.
Help me to my feet, would you, Took?
Sure.
All right. Let's go.
What about me?
What about you?
You're not going to kill me?
Sing, I don't give a damn about you right now. All I care about is getting the hell out of here. You can come with us or you can stay. But no one's gonna help you. You live or die by your own hand. Not mine or anyone else's.
It's starting. We have to run.
Let me through, you pathetic people!
Mike, no.
Why?
Let him go. If he gets himself out of this, we'll worry about him on the other side.
You're being merciful, Anya?
No. It's just I don't care about him anymore.
Get inside the temple. It's all gonna come down around us.
Took helped get Anya into the corridor. Behind them, the pavilion started to cave in, and the floor buckled. As they ran past the statues, the closest one began to teeter. Anya lost her grip on Took as bits of stone came showering down around them.
Oh. Anya, take my arm.
She felt Took's hand clutch at her own. He pulled her free of the debris, masonry dust caking his face.
We gotta keep moving.
Anya could barely see Mike in front of them. He was struggling to stay upright, and Anya realized that the floor was slanting. Like being on a listing ship, the entire surface was heaving as the facility beneath them started to crumble in upon itself.
Yes!
They hurried on and found Mike standing over Sing. A large section of stone lay atop Sing's body, but he was still conscious.
Hurry! You've got to get this off of me!
There's no way we can lift it. It must weigh a ton or more.
No! You cannot leave me here to die! You've got to help me!
We're out of time, Anya.
I told you that you were free to help yourself, Sing, but by your own hand, not by ours.
But surely you don't mean that! Help me, Anya Creed! Help me!
Let's get the hell out of here.
Don't leave me! No! Okay.
Dust clouds followed them as they pressed toward the prison cell that had held Took. And then the doorway to freedom stood before them at long last. Mike reached it first and waved them through.
Come on! We're almost there!
You first, Took. I'll make it. Just get yourself out.
Took looked at her once and then rushed ahead. Anya smiled and knew he'd survive. She urged her feet to keep moving. Anya looked back. To her horror, the floor behind her started to yawn and a gaping hole erupted beneath her feet.
Anya!
She turned back and saw Mike waving her on.
You have to jump, Anya!
Anya saw the fissure growing wider, and she knew she would have one chance to make the jump. As the fissure spread, Anya dug deep and felt her heart thundering in her chest as the last bits of her adrenaline gave her a sudden turbo boost of power. Her hands found the door jamb of stone, and she felt the floor give way beneath her. She found herself dangling in open space as the stone fell into a seething mass of angry greens and yellows 100 feet below. All of the nuclear waste that had been stored in the facility was churning like a boiling cesspool of hell. Anya felt her grip slipping. She had no more strength anywhere in her body. And just as she was about to lose it all, just as she was about to topple backward and fall into the swirling nuclear mists, she felt two sets of hands clutch her and pull her through the doorway.
Anya!
Anya fell into Took and Mike, and they dragged her toward the staircase. Mike made it through the trapdoor first. Anya felt herself lifted up, and then Took's face appeared behind her.
Quickly, Took, shut the door. It's not safe here. The whole mountain is going to give way.
Outside! We've got to get outside!
Mike and Took eased Anya through the opening in the cave and then followed her out. Blinding sunlight greeted her, and the numbing cold bit at every pore of her body. Anya felt pain like she'd never experienced before in her life. Every fiber of her soul seemed like it was on fire.
We have to get back to the crash site.
I don't think I can.
You must. Don't give up on me now, Anya Creed. You've got to walk. We'll help you.
Small avalanches started breaking loose from the ice sheets, and tons of snow and ice started rocketing down from the peak toward them.
Run!
Anya felt like her legs were lead, but she pushed herself further than she ever had before. She had to get down the slope. Took ran alongside her, his legs still pumping like mad pistons. Mike's big arms tried to lift Anya along when he could, and the three of them kept stumbling along.
Look out!
The snow boulder rushed past them, missing them all by mere inches.
It's Garin! He's found us!
I never thought I'd be so happy to see him.
A gray, cloying mist surrounded Anya as she floated with no sense of time or space. She could feel her strength returning slowly, and yet a big part of her had no desire to relinquish the peace she felt in this strange limbo world. It was easier here, she thought, than to have to go back to the real world. But something needled at her persistently, poking its way into her dream world consciousness. It refused to leave her alone, and finally, after trying to ignore it for a long while, Anya succumbed.
Anya?
She heard the voices calling her, but resisted opening her eyes until the very last moment, hoping against hope that this was all part of a dream. That when she opened her eyes, it would be dark outside. She'd stare at the clock and see it was only 3 a.m, heave a grateful sigh, and then roll over and go back to sleep.
Anya!
Not this time.
Huh? Took. Jeez. Give a woman some room, would you?
Oh, thank God you're back. The doctors, they said you were going to be fine, but I worried. I've never seen anyone take the abuse you took and live to tell the tale. I was worried. I sure was. But you're back now. Everything's great. I have been keeping a watch over you every day just to make sure the doctors don't screw up.
Second-guessing all of their decisions? That must make you the most popular person in the hospital right now. Where am I, anyway?
Kathmandu? Garin and his crew brought you straight here. He was well and truly worried, that one was. But he kept saying to us that if anyone could survive, it would be you. Seems as though he's quite fond of you.
Oh, really? That would be news to me. Are all these flowers from you?
No, those are from Garin. He said it was important to make sure you saw them when you woke up. Something about how flowers always bring us back to the goodness of God's earth. Some religious thing or something, I don't know.
Orchids? Did he fly these in? So, where is everyone?
Garin's going to get something to eat, but I think he was really more interested in chasing down the nurse who was in here a few minutes back.
That sounds just about right.
Mike is upstairs having a second opinion about his head.
What do you mean?
He says he hasn't had any headaches since we got out of that place. He wanted to know what was going on.
Are they even set up for that kind of diagnosis here? I mean, no offense, but third world medical care isn't always the best.
Well, they do a pretty good job here. I've been very impressed with the care you received.
Well, thank you. It's nice to know someone is looking out for my best interests.
Absolutely. If you hadn't saved my life, I wouldn't even be here right now.
It's you who should be thanked, Took. If Garin hadn't hired you to watch over me, none of us would have reached this point. I'm indebted to you for the rest of my life, however long that happens to be.
Just doing my job?
And you did a damned good job of it.
Well, my days of working are now at an end. So it's nice I was able to go out on such a high note.
You're retiring?
Garin paid me handsomely for all my hard work. I got more than enough to retire to the countryside and get a small place. I can sleep as long as I want, eat when I want, and never have to worry about anything until I get bored.
Well, if you ever do get bored, you're welcome to look me up. I'm sure I can find some sort of excitement for you to get mixed up in. Seems I attract the stuff like nobody's business.
Yes, well, thanks for the offer. But I don't know if I should. Things get more dangerous around you than I'm comfortable with. I mean, a little danger is fine. But fully automatic weapons, assassins, and nuclear waste are too much for me.
You're not the only one.
Yes, but you know how to deal with it. I don't. I'm not some globe-trotting superhero who can take down enemies and save the world.
Well, neither am I, Took. I try to get out of bed in the morning and see where the day takes me. I've got this part of me I'm trying to make sense of. Some kind of destiny that I can't always come to terms with, and yet I've got to. The danger, the near-death experiences, they're all a part of it. But I don't ever look in the mirror and think that I'm something amazing. The day I do that, I think will probably be my last.
You're modest, too, aren't you?
I don't know about that. I'm just me.
Well, I've got your head out. I'm going to see about a house up the hills.
Hills?
Mountains, I guess you'd call them.
You're buying there, even with all of that snow?
I love the snow. It's just dying in it that I can't stand.
Anytime you want to come to the States, give me a call and we'll hang out. You're a good man, Took, and I'm happy to have known you.
You're going to make me cry. Stop that. I'm happy to have made your acquaintance, too, Anya Creed. You really are an amazing woman.
Thank you.
Anya thought about it for a few minutes and decided that if she could just lie in this reasonably comfortable bed for about a month, she might honestly start feeling pretty good again. She could sleep the days away and just concentrate on getting herself back to normal. She stretched her limbs and felt her muscles expand and then contract. Anya sank back into the bed, allowing her spine to lengthen.
So much for peace and quiet. Hello?
Anya! It's Doug!
Doug, what are you doing calling me here? Did you hear that I was close to death?
Of course I did. But since you answered the phone, can't be all that bad. Can it?
I suppose not. I haven't seen the doctors yet, though.
Well, there's no time for that. Listen, I need you to get to Scotland. A whole rash of new Nessie sightings has just sparked up over there. We're talking some crazy stuff. People running into the monster on boats, cars, and someone even claims they stumbled upon it on a path in the woods.
Sounds delightful. Why don't you send Miss Lose My Top on this one so I can take a much-needed vacation?
Anya, your vacations are what tend to get you into trouble in the first place. Need I remind you that this trip to Nepal was supposedly a vacation, and we nearly lost you. No way. I need you back to work as soon as humanly possible.
I'll ask my doctors how soon I can get out of here. Is that satisfactory to you, Doug?
As long as they say you can leave tomorrow, then yeah, absolutely.
I'll be sure to tell them that.
Call me when you're released.
It'll be the first thing I do.
Anya willed herself to relax. Doug could wait if need be. She wasn't in a hurry to go anywhere or do anything until she had rested enough to truly regain her strength. There were only a few times when she'd felt as totally drained as she had back on the mountain, and each of those times had meant a longer-than-normal recovery time for her. No, someone else could run down the Loch Ness story if Doug wanted it so badly. Anya wasn't sure what she wanted to do, but traipsing through a cold lake district in Scotland was definitely not it. A trip to a spa would fill the bill nicely, though, she thought. A long series of massages, hot baths, aromatherapy, and good meals. Now that might be something worth looking into. She wondered if Garin had succeeded in chasing down the nurse he was apparently after. Anya frowned. Here she was, lying near death in a hospital, and all he could think about was another notch on his bedpost. Way to show me that you care, Garin, she thought. Thank God Took was here. She thought about Mike. What did it mean that his head didn't hurt him anymore? Was there a chance that his tumor was in remission? Could it mean that he would have more years of life to live out rather than some quick death sentence? Anya hoped it would mean he'd be able to enjoy his life again, although she wondered how the cancer could have gone into remission. Was it due to something they'd been exposed to back at the facility? Did radiation exposure kill cancer cells? Anya wasn't sure how the whole chemotherapy thing worked, but if Mike had explored the facility and possibly gotten himself some exposure to radiation, then maybe that had affected his tumor. So, some good comes out of all of this, after all, she thought. Anya willed herself to fall asleep. She felt certain that at any moment Garin would no doubt burst through the door and disturb her peaceful atmosphere.
Oh, you know, Garin, you really have the worst timing.
It isn't Garin, dear.
Oh, I'm sorry, nurse. I thought you were somebody else.
It isn't the nurse, either.
Vanya.
Anya struggled to free herself from the crushing weight of Vanya's body as she tried to smother Anya. Vanya dropped an elbow into Anya's midsection. Anya swung her arms up and clapped Vanya around the side of the head, trying to rupture her eardrums. But the older woman ducked the blow, and Anya's hands only smacked Vanya on the side of the head. Vanya climbed atop Anya and tried to choke her. Anya kept fighting, aware that she was rapidly losing consciousness. All of her strength seemed to have left her.
You have ruined my plans, Anya. I can never go home again, and it's all because of you.
Anya kicked her hips up and dislodged Vanya. Anya scrambled back to her feet on the other side of the bed opposite of Vanya. She grabbed her IV line and gritted her teeth. Vanya circled the bed. Anya backed up, aware now that the woman had a scalpel in her hand.
I saw you die, Vanya. Singh's man shot you 3 times in the chest.
Another bit of make-believe. I didn't get as far as I have in this life by being too stupid to wear a bulletproof vest with a layer of fake blood over it for just that purpose.
You wear that everywhere?
Wherever there's danger to me, yes.
But the facility exploded. You should have died there with Singh and your assassin, Zhu Zhao.
You killed my most illustrious pupil. Yet another reason to come after you. And as for not escaping, there is always more than one exit in anything I get involved with. As soon as you all fled, I got up and ran. I was back in Kathmandu before you.
Why not just shoot me?
Metal detectors downstairs. I wouldn't have gotten it through. A little blade, though? Well, they are easy to find in a place like this.
Anya felt the wall behind her. She tried to summon the sword, but couldn't visualize the blade properly. Her sword wasn't there.
What is the matter, dear? Having trouble conjuring your special sword?
Anya frowned and tried again, aware that Vanya was edging closer to her. Anya could just make out a fuzzy image of the sword, but it didn't seem to be enough to get it to materialize in her hands. Anya grabbed the pitcher of water from the nightstand. Vanya, surprisingly nimble for her age, ducked the container and moved even closer.
Not to worry, Anya. I'll sever your windpipe so you get to die choking on your own blood. I figure it is the least I can do, considering how you treated Su Shao.
I gave Su Zhao the chance to walk away. She chose to end her life by fighting me.
If you had joined us, we could all be in power right now. The fallout from the facility explosion would have enabled us to seize power, Anya. Instead, all of my dreams have been laid waste because of you and that sword of yours. Ever since I heard of it, I have been obsessed with having it. And now you can't even bring it out to kill me.
Somebody help me!
They'll never get here in time.
She slashed at Anya's throat. Anya ducked and then kicked up at Vanya's kneecap. Vanya's leg was already bent and it didn't buckle under the blow. She punched Anya across the jaw. The blow sent Anya reeling. She toppled over the bed, landing on her feet near the door. She made a run for it.
I've got the key right here. You're welcome to try and take it from me.
Anya tried to summon the sword again. It was a little more clear, but she still couldn't see clearly enough to bring it out. Vanya edged closer again and lashed out again with the scalpel. It bit into Anya's forearm, scoring a line from the wrist to the elbow. Anya glanced down and saw a flap of skin hanging loose. Blood poured from the wound and spilled across the sheets and the floor. Anya slid back toward the wall, gripping her arm. Vanya came closer.
I'll make it quick.
Anya lashed out with another kick and landed it square in Vanya's stomach. Vanya recovered quickly and advanced. She reached out towards Anya's arm with her free hand. Anya recoiled as Vanya's nails sank into her exposed muscle and tendons and crushed them under her grip. The pain nearly caused Anya to pass out.
but she used all of her strength to throw Vanya back across the room.
Oh. You are not going to make it out of here alive, Anya Creed.
Vanya rushed forward again, leading with the scalpel. Anya tore her arm away from Vanya's grasp, the scalpel jutting out at an awful angle. She grabbed it by the handle. Vanya pulled out another scalpel, and the two of them circled each other. Vanya fainted and came in with a straight stab. Anya sidestepped the thrust and slashed across the top of Vanya's forearm. She had drawn blood for the first time. Vanya retreated, but still kept her blade in front of her. Anya, woozy from the injuries, advanced slowly. Vanya backslashed at Anya, who checked the blow and then stabbed into Vanya's stomach with the scalpel. The cut was superficial, but Vanya staggered back, clutching at her abdomen. Vanya recovered, charging at Anya. Jagged bits of wood scattered about them, and Vanya raised herself up, grabbing one of the coarse pieces. The blow nearly knocked Anya unconscious, but she fought back against the rising tide of blackness, punching at Vanya and scoring a direct hit on the older woman's face. Anya tried to stand, but her head throbbed. She couldn't take much more. Anya closed her eyes and prayed that she would see the sword. She needed it now. Suddenly, the blade materialized in her mind's eye. She grabbed for it, just as Vanya rushed at her with everything she had. Anya slid back down against the wall, the sword held up in front of her.
No!
Vanya had just enough time for her eyes to lock on the blade.
You want the sword? Now you've got it.
Anya!
Here.
Are you all right?
What are you saying? I look like crap?
I wondered if anyone might try to make an attempt on your life. I went to find the nurse who was acting strangely.
Took said you were checking her out.
I was, but not in the way you think. Well, she had some fight in her, didn't she?
Almost too much.
Just can't stay out of fights, can you?
Hey, I didn't go looking for it this time. Doctors are coming.
Yeah, and you might want to put that blade away before anyone sees it.
Good point.
Garin helped Anya get back to the bed. Anya felt the incredible strength in his body and wished that she could borrow some of it so she didn't feel quite so small and weak as she did just then. Garin hovered over her.
You're going to be fine, Anya. It takes more than this to keep you down.
If you say so.
What are happening here?
Call the police! There's been an incident!
Garin hovered close by, and Anya got the distinct impression he wasn't going to let her out of his sight for a good long time. That was fine, because if Vanya had any friends looking for revenge, there was no way that Anya was going to be able to fend them off. Garin leaned over her as the doctors and nurses started tending to her wounds.
Hang in there, Anya.
What else would I do?
Garin backed up as more nurses came in and shooed him away from Anya's bed. She let herself be tended to, not really feeling much pain anymore, not really feeling much of anything. Her mind drifted and floated all around the hospital room. She saw the doctors studying her wound intently, while one prepared to sew her up.
One, two, three, lift!
Nurses and attendants hauled Vanya's body away with a sense of bewilderment on their faces. They could see that Vanya had impaled herself on something, but what? And where was the weapon now? Garin steered their questions away, but Anya wasn't worried. She knew that he could field all their concerns and keep everyone quiet about anything he wanted to. And she felt better that he was in the room with her. Finally, she'd be able to get some sleep. Anya opened her eyes to bright sunshine flooding her hospital room. One of the windows overlooked a courtyard, and the scent of flowers hung in the air. She smiled and rose to take a shower. She'd stayed in the hospital for just over a week, happy to take it easy for once. The doctors told her it would take a few more weeks for things to heal completely, but they had also told her she was strong enough to go home. Anya was hunched over the single bag she had, packing the last of the variety of clothes Garin had purchased to replace what she'd lost early on in the trip.
Are you indecent?
No.
Damn, I was hoping to time it better.
Really?
You're resorting to a quick game of peekaboo? Is it that thrilling?
Depends on the woman. With you, peekaboo would definitely be a highlight.
Keep dreaming, then.
I shall. Just about finished packing?
Yeah. Thanks for the clothes.
Least I could do. After you nearly died on this adventure, I figured clothes shopping might not be high on the old priority list. Plus, there was the incredibly beautiful sales girl who...
Garin.
Sorry, just kidding. You know I have to reinforce my reputation any chance I get.
Well, give it a rest, would you? It wears on me lately. Take a seat. You know, there's one thing that's been bothering me about this whole thing.
What's that?
You.
Me? What about me?
Well, you hired Took to watch over me. But why? I mean, if you were so concerned about my safety, then why on earth didn't you just come here yourself and take care of the danger?
It's not always that easy, Anya.
Baloney. I've never known you to back away from a fight. And now all of a sudden you start. It doesn't make sense.
I wasn't backing away from anything. But at the same time, I needed a low profile.
Why?
Because I didn't know who was after you until Took started relaying information to me. And even then, it took me a while to piece things together. When he told me about Xu Shao, I had to go back and search through my databases and ones I'm not supposed to have access to. Even then, I was playing catch-up the entire way.
I guess.
Believe me, Anya, if there'd been a way for me to take this off of you, I would have. But I couldn't risk it without having concrete proof. And by then, things were so far in motion already, I couldn't get you in time. I had to rely on Took. And thank God he turned out to be as formidable as he was.
Why do I get the feeling you're not telling me everything?
Ah, you're so damned intuitive, it drives me crazy. And honestly, I forget who I'm dealing with sometimes. You're not just a pretty face, are you?
I'm not much of a pretty face at all right now.
I couldn't be here in Kathmandu because I'm too well known. As it was, I took a great chance coming to hire Took.
Who knows you?
The better question might be who doesn't know me.
Singh?
We did some work together a while back. He knew me very well, and let's just say that it didn't end well.
In what way?
Let's suppose he told me that if I ever showed my face in Kathmandu again, he'd have me drawn and quartered.
Sounds about right.
When Took told me that Singh was involved, I kept an even lower profile. Specifically, I flew to India and stayed there until I knew what was going on. Once you were off to Jomsom and Mustang, something didn't feel right, so I flew back into the country, waiting for Took's phone call.
But when it came, we'd already crashed.
Exactly. By then, I didn't much care if Singh knew I was back. I went to him, prepared to offer a truce until I could find you, but he'd already chased you up to Jomsom. Or actually, I think he was chasing Xu Shao because she tried to poison him.
So, by the time all of this was happening, we were already at the fabled Shangri-La.
Yes. Well, that does sound better than nuclear waste facility masquerading as a mystical land.
I have to agree. You ready to go?
Sure am.
Anya and Garin walked out of the hospital together, and the weather was spectacular. Anya's body felt good. Not perfect, but really good, and well on the mend. She also felt rested. Better so than in a very long time.
I'm looking forward to going home.
Here's your ticket. You'll be flying first class.
First class? What'd I do to deserve this?
As if you didn't know.
What about you, Garin? Where are you off to now?
Well, you know how it is. Lots of things to do and see. Lots of other activities to keep me busy.
Maybe someday you'll stop doing whatever it is that you do.
Maybe. And maybe someday you'll stop what you do, too.
I don't know if I can. The sword seems to have my destiny all mapped out, but damned if I can fathom it.
We all have our destinies to play out, Anya. But play them out we will. And maybe when they're done and finished, we can actually live how we want to. You know, if you happen to believe in free will and all.
Free will. That's quite a concept.
Looking for something?
I was hoping to see Mike. I haven't seen him since the mountain. He left me a message saying something about his brain tumor, but then it got cut off and I never learned what was going on.
Maybe Mike's got his own destiny to play out, too. Remember, nothing's ever quite what it seems, is it?
What's that supposed to mean?
Goodbye, Anya. I'll be seeing you around. We won't always be friends, but we won't always be enemies either. Remember that the next time you want to kill me.
You do the same.
I shall.
Anya watched Garin walk away and vanish into the crowd. She never knew how such a large man could so easily disappear, but somehow he always did.
Taxi! Airport, please.
Why the hell do you want to go there?
Mike!
Hey, kid.
What in the world are you doing driving a cab?
You got time to take a ride? Maybe have a conversation about stuff?
My flight's not for hours yet. I've got some time.
Good.
They drove through the congested streets of Kathmandu. Gradually, the city limits fell behind them, and they passed into more rural areas. Anya looked out of her window and watched the children playing soccer and laughing and running through the streets.
What's going on?
You'll see.
Anya didn't recognize where they were heading until Mike pulled into the airfield where they'd been stowed aboard Singh's plane. Mike leaned against the hood, turning his face up towards the sun.
It's great to see you again, you big lug.
Sorry I haven't been around. I had to take care of some things.
I heard. Took said something about your cancer being in remission. That's wonderful news. Congratulations.
Thanks. But it's not in remission.
It's not?
No. It's gone. Completely.
Even better. Wow. How did that happen?
I don't want you to get mad at me, okay?
What is it?
I never had it to begin with.
What?
Anya, hear me out.
You faked that? I was beside myself with grief for you, and now you tell me it was all a lie? How dare you?
I had to lie, Anya.
Why in the world did you have to lie?
Because that was part of my cover.
Cover? What cover? You're a teacher, Mike. You don't need a cover.
The teacher thing is my cover. The brain cancer was another facet of it. Together, they helped sell me.
Jesus Christ. Don't tell me you're a spook.
Guilty.
How the hell did that happen? The last I heard, you were doing great at your job and you had a great career.
I do have a great career, but it's doing something other than teaching. The agency uses me for a variety of unorthodox assignments. And the rest of the time, I'm a mild-mannered teacher. Works out very well.
CIA?
Yes.
You don't look like a case officer.
Not everyone who works for the CIA works for the CIA, if you get my meaning.
I don't.
The agency uses a whole network of independent contractors. It goes back many years. In this country, there is a network of people who can be called upon at any time to step up and take on assignments best handled by someone other than official CIA officers, even those deep cover guys. So the agency uses us, and we're sort of cut away from the apparatus as a whole. It gives us better flexibility and more freedom to pursue what needs to be done without a whole bunch of hamstringing oversight.
If you say so.
Don't be upset with me, Anya. I feel bad enough that I had to get you involved in this. It's all my fault that this happened to you, and you got so banged up. But I needed you to come along, or I never would have been able to sell it to Singh.
Sell what to Singh?
For a long time now, the agency has suspected that the Chinese have been dumping nuclear waste somewhere, but we never knew where. Some analysts thought it was a safe bet that they were dumping it at sea, but we've been watching for signs of that and never caught them doing it. That left either space or they were burying it. Now, the Chinese have a fairly admirable space program, but they're not anywhere near ready to start shipping rockets full of waste to dump up there. So, that left burying it.
Would they really do that?
China's got more environmental waste than almost any other country on the planet, including us, if you can believe that.
I don't know if I can.
We'd heard rumors about a construction project that happened over near Mustang, but we never had a solid lead to follow until a few weeks ago. One of the contractors offered a map of the area on the black market.
A map? The one you had that supposedly showed the way to Shangri-La?
The same. Of course, Singh tried to buy it back, but the dealer said no way. We heard about it, and the agency figured I would have the best chance of acquiring the map.
Wait. Why would Singh need to buy back a map to a place he already knew all about? Didn't he help build it?
He sure did. But he wanted the map so he could make sure it was off the market. He didn't need it, per se. It was just his attempt to contain an information leak.
But why go to him for the $50,000 you needed to buy the map? Couldn't the agency just front you the cash?
No. Singh was too well connected in Chinese intelligence to ever believe that I had the capacity to finance the map purchase. If the agency fronted me the money, Singh would have known who I was immediately and just had me killed.
I'm still confused as to why Singh even brought us before him and told you that he was interested in finding Shangri-La. What was that all about?
The code name for the supposed location of the nuclear waste facility we had learned about was always Shangri-La. The contractor who put the map on the market called it that, after what the Chinese planned to name the place.
So, a dual meaning sort of thing, huh?
To Singh, I was just a history teacher looking for the fabled location of the real Shangri-La. In his mind, he was going to get the map back. In my mind, I was working to ascertain the exact location of a nuclear waste facility built and operated by the Chinese government. Three layers of duplicity, I guess you could say.
And one very confused Anya Creed.
Welcome to the intelligence world.
No thanks. What happened to the facility anyway? I haven't seen any mention of it on the news.
That's because there hasn't been any.
How in the world could they possibly keep that a secret?
They had help.
Who?
Uncle Sam.
We helped them? Why the hell would we do such a thing? They damn near contaminated an entire country. The world deserves to know what happened.
Things aren't that black and white anymore, Anya. The Cold War's over and we live in a new world now. Enemies aren't always enemies. Friends aren't always friends. And the best way we can manage now is a sort of gray relationship where hopefully we all get along and manage to keep the world spinning.
So we helped them keep the lid on this?
More than that, we helped them clean it up.
Clean it up?
Turns out their containment structure is pretty amazing. They kept most of the gloop inside where it needed to be. The Shangri-La structure atop the waste box simply fell in and vaporized or whatever.
But all that radiation?
Currently being piped to a new treatment facility. One we're helping the Chinese build so they do it right. It ain't a perfect world, Anya, but it's pretty much the only one we've got.
And what about me?
What about you?
I ate a peach off one of the trees in the land we were in. So am I going to get radiation poisoning?
Nope.
You say that so positively.
I am positive. You weren't exposed to any radiation. Nothing showed up on your tests.
What tests?
The ones you took while you were in the hospital.
I don't remember those tests.
Blood work, mostly. I had my friends check you out to make sure there was no lasting damage to you. You'll be sore from your other injuries, but otherwise, you're good to go.
And what if I don't feel like keeping what happened here a secret? What if my conscience demands I tell people about it?
Well, then I'd have no choice but to let my superiors know about that incredible sword of yours.
You're blackmailing me.
It's not blackmail, Anya. It's just an agreement. We help each other here. You don't get hassled by the government, and you keep quiet about that thing you witnessed. Everybody makes out just perfectly.
What about Took? He saw the same things I saw.
Took's not a problem. He's being paid a handsome annuity to stay quiet. And he says he wouldn't say anything anyway.
All right.
Great. Thanks, Anya.
So answer me this. How did the Chinese know about Took? And how did they find all those people to look like him? He really thought they were his long-lost tribe.
Su Xiao reported Took to Vanya, and they figured it out from there. As for the workers, they'd been carted in from a small village in southwestern China. Turns out everyone there is that size, and no one really knows why. Who knows? Maybe that's where Took is really from.
Guess it doesn't matter now. Vanya killed them all.
One of the tragedies of this whole thing. Well, we should get going.
Yeah.
Look, I know it might take you a while to get through what I'm asking you to do, but I've got something that might take your mind off of that.
And what, pray tell, is that?
See that map in the backseat pocket? Check it out.
Is this what I think it is?
Yep.
I don't know if I should go looking for another Shangri-La so soon after this one.
Anya, this is the real thing. Honest. I got this map from a friend of mine who
swears the real Shangri-La. Mike kept talking, but Anya just stared out the window.
Hey, it's better than
she was headed to the airport, that much was certain. But beyond that, she had no idea.
Thank you. Rogue Angel 29 False Horizon is a Graphic Audio production. Rogue Angel trademark owned by Harlequin Enterprises Limited, used by others under license. Copyright 2011, Worldwide Library. Production copyright 2011, The Cutting Corporation. All rights reserved. Performed by Colleen Delaney, Ken Jackson, Thomas Penny, Terrence Aselford, Mort Shelby, M.B. Van Dorn, Stephen Carpenter, James Lewis, Alyssa Wilmoth, David Coyne, and Richard Rowan. Additional red shirts performed by The Did Giveaways. Directed by Ken Jackson. Produced by Rick Rowan and Wayne Beeman. Executive producers James Cutting, Mary Cutting, and Angie Cornett. Dialogue editing and graphic audio sound design by Temeskin Wubna. The Rogue Angel theme was composed by Chris Rowan. Book adapted for graphic audio by Matt Jacobs. If you enjoyed Rogue Angel, be sure to look for Lilith St. Croix's Dante Valentine series and Elizabeth Moon's Vada's War series. Available at road stops everywhere at 1-800-670-5220 or at www.graphicaudio.net.
Available now in graphic audio.
Where'd it get him?
Before he passed out. Hurley said it got him twice. Once in the leg and once in the neck.
When Smoke's friend and longtime foreman Pearly is bitten by a deadly mountain rattler, Smoke must venture into a dodgy gold rush city known as Payday.
What's wrong with your friend? He shot or something?
No, he's been snake bit real bad. We came here looking for a doctor.
The nearest real doctor's up in Pueblo, about 50 miles from here.
Damn.
I bet we do got us a dentist, and he takes care of most of our doctoring when we need it.
But when Smoke gets Pearly the only aid he can find, he crosses paths with someone from his past. Someone hell-bent on revenge.
How long you gonna let this Jensen thing distract you, Buck? Every day you sit around here messing around with this Pearly character trying to get to Jensen, we're losing money.
I'm gonna do whatever it takes to first make Jensen's life a living hell, Jeb, and then I'm gonna kill him. If you don't like it, there ain't nothing you can do about it.
But the only thing this oily varmint didn't count on was Smoke Jensen's boiling, unstoppable wrath.
Now, I don't know what you have against me, Tolliver, or why you've gone to so much trouble to hurt my friend, but I'll find out sooner or later. And we'll have a reckoning, you and me. You do know, don't you, Buck, that only one of us is leaving this town alive.
The streets run red in the Mountain Man number 32, Wrath of the Mountain Man. Available now in graphic audio. Available now in graphic audio. The war between Dante Valentine and the devil has been building.
Hey, Blondie, you two-faced lying sack of demon shit. You've got business with me first.
Indeed, I do.
Now, all will be settled in one epic final confrontation.
Here I stand, Lucifer, and not all the hosts of hell shall move me.
Not all the hosts of hell are necessary, Necromans.
Just one.
Dante Valentine number 5, to hell and back. The thrilling conclusion to the Dante Valentine series.
There is more than one way to break a human.
If you can't find that graphic audio title you're looking for, go to www.graphicaudio.net where you can order it in CD format or digital download. If you're on the road, call 1-800-670-5220. That's 1-800-670-5220. Or www.graphicaudio.net. And if you're looking for a great way to try out a different Graphic Audio series, check out our convenient and easy-to-store long-haul box sets, which contain up to 5 books of a series. Available only at www.graphicaudio.net. Be sure to sign up for our monthly newsletter or follow us on Twitter.